I am Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the virtual CISO moment. Troy Bowman joins us today. He is an information security analyst with Costco Wholesale. Troy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you.
So we'd love to hear about your cyber journey. You're one of the favorite types of folks that I like to talk here because you do have earlier in your career military experience. So definitely start from the beginning, why you got into cyber and where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up, you hear about hackers and, you know, those 1990 films of, you know, the hacker with the keyboard going crazy and stuff. So definitely something I always knew was there. I just, you know, that's the one side of it you always see that and you don't know there's more. So, yeah, I was in the Navy for about 6 years. I was a fire controlman, but I usually just tell people I was a electronics technician because otherwise they think I fight fires. basically just the electronics technician, but for the weapon systems. Specifically for me, it was Tomahawk. So it was a lot of, you know, hardware troubleshooting, software troubleshooting, you know, system administrator work, security manager stuff of that nature. And it really played into the industry in the sense of security of documents, right? So you're dealing with top secret documents, strike packages, things like that. So
now I got to stop and just, you mentioned Tomahawk missiles. They've been around a long time. So I imagine that there've been like a lot of upgrades. I mean, very thankful for the Tomahawk when I was in Desert Storm, because that was one of the things that helped to convince Saddam Hussein that maybe this wasn't such a good idea. So same basic missile, but basically a lot of more updates with regards to software and internal workings and all that, I take it.
Yes, absolutely. They've come a long ways.
Yeah, the plane that I worked on was the C-130, and that's actually been around since 1950 early. And but it's still a C-130, but it's not exactly the same plane inside and out. A lot of different systems and all that. So yeah, I mean, that's really neat that that we're taking older technology and newer technology and really getting the best of all those worlds. So appreciate the work that you do on that. And I'm sorry for interrupting. Go on.
No problem at all. Yeah. It's definitely come a long way. They take the same old missile and slap on a lot of upgrades and turn it into a really lethal combo. So it was a great learning experience though. Tons of experience that really translated into IT. And then really sets you up for the right mindset going into security. And, so when I exited the military, I had to find a career, right? I had to figure out what do I want to do for the rest of my life. Right. And, I was afforded, an opportunity to, join the team that I'm on now at Costco. The former manager was a, Marine in the reserves. And so it was really easy for me to translate my skills and my achievements that I had in the Navy and explain to him why I'd be a good fit on the team. And so he afforded me a chance to step in and kind of expand my knowledge in the field and everything like that. So it's been a great time. It's definitely been my calling and I've enjoyed every single minute of it.
So the concept of transferable skills from military to civilian world, definitely comes into play. I've mentioned this in the podcast before, and we talked about it before starting the recording that, that's actually how I got in, when I was in the reserves for the Air Force and working on C-130s, the person who interviewed me at the local computing or the university's computing center, he was a drill instructor when he was in the Marines. And, yeah, I mean, he had obviously since separated, but, he said that, you know, if you can follow a technical order to fix aircraft, you can definitely learn this networking stuff. So I think the reason why I bring that up is that I think that folks that are transitioning from the military to information security and information technology, that they're not really sure exactly how to leverage that. But it sounds like, Troy, that you definitely did go down that path of leveraging what you learned in the Navy. What's one bit of advice that from your experience of doing that, that can really help some other vets that are trying to transition right now into cyber?
Yeah. I would say that definitely try to take all the terminology that is used in the military and try to find real world equivalents. You can talk about what you did all day long till you're blue in the face. in the military, right? But no one's going to understand the acronyms or the you know, job titles that you had or the things that you did. It's very helpful if you can communicate the same things in terms that the civilian industry is going to understand. So, you know, if you led a, like for me, I for a little bit, I was a LPO, right? But if I say that to somebody, I was a leading petty officer, they're not going to really understand what I'm saying.
Right. I didn't know. I thought it was like some sort of a line printer organizer. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, instead spin it as, you know, I managed a team of X number of employees. You know, obviously they're not employees in the military, but you get what I'm talking about. So, you know, turning those experiences that you had in the military, finding real world equivalents that are easily understood, is the best way to go about it, in my opinion.
And I think they're employees, but you know, we were employees with a really long and strict service contract, you know, that is yes. very difficult to break. So, but with great benefits and great stories and great opportunity as well, too. I always encourage folks that, you know, joining the military, well, first of all, do it for the right reasons. You definitely want to serve your country first and foremost. Don't do it for the benefits or for, I mean, those are ancillary things, but you can learn in so many things, both within a technical field and also just basically how to get along with people, how to work as a team. That's one of the things also that I will emphasize about military folks. It's like, they understand how to work as a team because that's the whole point of it. You know, there's no one solo person there. So very, excuse me, very interesting path and into Costco. From your perspective right now, being somewhat early in your career still, what would you think would be one of the more significant threats to small and mid-sized businesses today?
Yeah, so I think that one thing that is kind of underrated and definitely known but underrated is the level of phishing attacks that small businesses will see. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, you're a small business or a medium-sized business and, oh, that, you know, why would I be a target? I don't have the value that, you know, a large enterprise would have. And it's just not the case. The small, medium-sized businesses see a very, you know, large influx of these phishing emails. You know, maybe spam text, spam calls targeting certain individuals of a company, trying to leverage that mindset of, you know, I'm not a target, and then pushing their way into their infrastructure, into their network, you know, what have you.
How do you think that we hear an awful lot about generative AI today and how that it's being applied to those sorts of social engineering? What do you see as like a risk there?
Yeah, man, the AI space is just exploding, and it's becoming more and more, you know, available to individuals out there. It's going to make it very difficult to discern between a phishing attack and a legitimate email. It's going to build, you know, these packages, you could say, that are going to be very targeted, very, very trustworthy looking. It's going mm-hmm. to be, it's going to be much easier for somebody to make a mistake of clicking on that link or thinking that email is legitimate and responding with, you know, the, what it's asking for. It's going to be even more difficult for trainings to kind of fall in line with that as well, right? It's going to be more difficult to train employees on what to look for, because those things to look for can be then taken out of the very easily the emails and the phishing attacks by these AI units. So it's going to become more difficult to train against, and it's also going to become easier for the attackers to then perform those phishing attacks.
And you brought up an excellent point about training. We have historically, in information security, one of the pieces of advice that we give people, it's like, well, just look at the email, and you know, usually if there's some grammar issues or spelling issues and all that, it's like, oh, it's fake. You know, that's all you need to look for the most part. But we can't say that anymore, right? Because I mean, the generative AI, they can craft something not only that looks right, but like if Troy, you and I had like an email exchange back and forth, there are certain aspects of how we communicate. Like I always end an email with thanks. And then I say, Greg, and some people say best, some people say sincerely, some people say, leave me alone. I don't know, but you get to the point where it's actually learning about your behavior as well too, to craft that. So I wanted to emphasize what you had said about training, because a lot of times small and mid-sized businesses who are watching this, they think that their training has been on autopilot. Well, we do this every year. We do the phishing exercises, but no, this is a real significant shift in the industry. And I would imagine that you see that without going into too many details, has there been a shift on how you're approaching the phishing training, generally speaking?
Yeah, it's very interactive. Costco does a really good job of you know, trying to hit on all the red flags. You can tell it's starting to become a challenge with you, like you just brought up. Actually, that's what I was going to talk to.
I didn't mean grammar. To take your thunder.
It's awesome. I'm glad you brought it up. Is the grammar, right? Like, oh, look for poor grammar. Look for this. Look for that. And it's just so easy now for these AI models to pull those red flags out. And then all you're left with is what you think is a legitimate email. But yeah, Costco does a really good job with making it interactive, catching your attention, making sure that you retain the information that you're consuming. And it's something that I hope other businesses are leveraging as well.
So you've been now with Costco for a little bit more than just about four years, it looks like. And I love talking with folks. It's one of the things I do here on the virtual CISO moment, is that I'll talk with folks that are just starting out for the most part, and folks that have been doing this who are fossils like me, who can count it by decades and not years. But I have found by doing this that I get a much better perspective from folks that are fresh in the industry. And I 4 years is still somewhat fresh. Not, you haven't probably gotten terribly jaded like I am sometimes, but from your experience, the last 4 years of being an analyst for Costco, what's like some of the pros that have really stuck out, over the time that you really enjoy, like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So for me specifically, I work in mostly application security. I do threat modeling, security architecture reviews, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see how everything fits together, how everything is a puzzle piece that stacks together to create this wonderful product, whether it's, you know, to bring value to employees, bring value to the members. It's just really cool. And being a part of that and, you know, finding certain things that could be done better, to provide more security. It's, you know, like I said, it's kind of like a puzzle that you're completing, and it's just very gratifying to be able to do that. You know, I've been doing it for 4 years now. I'm still not tired of it. I learn something new every single day too. It's awesome.
Well, that's the beauty, I think, of cyber in particular. It's just like, I mean, in some ways, it's a constant newness, if you will. And in other ways, now I grew up on the networking side, not the application security side. Everybody has like different paths that they kind of go through. But I was remarking on LinkedIn, a couple of days ago, I think it was, I was trying to troubleshoot a virtual machine. I think it was Friday last week here in my office. And was using Wireshark for it. And that's probably not something that you've worked with, because it's not an app security thing, it's a network security thing. But the point is that Wireshark is just basically the same version of a software and platform for sniffing networks that I first started to do back 30 years ago. And so there's a lot of things that change, but there are a lot of things that fundamentally remain the same. I suspect that you're probably seeing some of those fundamentals that really haven't changed over the years as well. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yeah. You definitely, you know, you hit the big topics that every application, every, you know, service system needs. So anywhere from authentication, just basic authentication needs, whether it's LDAP, whether it's SAML, OAuth, you know, you're making sure that it's in place and it's running properly, right? Encryption of data in transit, encryption of data at rest. Although the algorithms get more complicated, it's you know, it's still a necessity. And I'm sure as, you know, quantum computing becomes more readily available and things of that nature, encryption will evolve again into something more, you know, 100 times more complex. So you definitely, you know, as new as things gets, as the nuance and continues to evolve, you still have those core functions that you have to make sure are implanted into everything that you do.
And do you feel that this is going to be the direction in cyber that you're going to continue with your career? Or do you think that you might look into other areas as well, too, as time goes on?
Honestly, you know, it's I'm going to have to wait and see. I definitely hear all the time, and I see it all the time. You know, you need to find a niche. You need to drill down into that niche, and that's all you do. And it just become really, really good at that. And it's as valuable as I see that being, I also don't like limiting my learning to one thing. And so, you know, if I continue down the path of application security with threat modeling or what have you, I wouldn't be upset with that. You know, but if other opportunities present themselves, maybe there's something else that catches my eye, and I want to go chase that down, whether it's like you networking, network security and things of that nature, or maybe more along the lines of like vulnerability management and things of that nature. So time will tell, but I'm definitely happy with where I'm at right now too.
Well, that's good. And yeah, I always like to bring that up with folks to keep an open mind about different areas as well too. There's some people, I don't know if this is something that you're thinking about way down the road, but as far as like going up to being a CISO type and all that, but at that point in time, it becomes like you're a master of no specific per se, but you are involved with everything. And I know for me that I found that seeing how everything integrates together was also like a really cool thing. But I spool back to when I was like 4 or 5 years into networking, it's like, no, I didn't look outside of my space until, I don't know, it just kind of evolved naturally. I got interested in like learning about databases was actually the next thing that I learned about. So that's everything just kind of comes together like that. But you mentioned too, that you're enjoying what you're doing every day. And I love that. Everything's exciting. Don't lose that enthusiasm, but sometimes cyber can get to be a little bit stressful. I talk about how we have a problem in the industry with folks that get burned out. I've seen people leave information security and cybersecurity because of that burnout. When it's unfortunate, I think that they might have been able to do something prior to it to manage that stress. But regardless, it is a more of a serious issue now than in my 30 plus years being in the business. What's one of the things that you do to decompress from stress? Or do you love your job so much that right now you don't have stress?
Oh man. Well, I have two kids and a wife and stuff. So family definitely is really important to me. So we try to take time with one thing that we actually do. So my wife loves to paint rocks. So like different caricatures on them and stuff like that. So me and the kids will go, we'll paint the rocks and we'll go hide them in a trail. So we'll go hiking in some, you know, park or trail or something like that, and hide the rocks for people to find. And then they post them, and it's really cool for the kids to see that.
So other people find the rocks, and then you have some sort of an identifier on the rock saying, post it to this website or something like that?
Yeah. It's a Facebook page, specifically for it. And then people post it to that saying, oh, look, I found this one. And then the kids will see, oh my gosh, that's the one that I painted, and they have it. That's awesome. So they love it. They think it's
awesome. I love that. You know, I always ask that question, and that is probably the more unique, most unique one that I've heard. So, I mean, the general is working with the kids. I get that. And living, doing everything with the kids, but the painting of the rocks and having a Facebook page associated with it. And I can just imagine the joy when your children see another one come up like that on the page.
Yeah. And it's not our Facebook page. It's like, there's a lot of people that do it. It's a general one so it's not unique to us, but yes, it is definitely, I had never heard about it until I think last year or so.
And if you don't mind, if it's okay, what's the name of the Facebook page that this movement that I've never heard of either?
If I think it's something along the lines of painted rocks or rock painting or something like that. And then generally you'll see like a location tag to the front of the title. So I think if you go on Facebook and just look up rock painting or painted rocks or something along the lines, you'll find one for your area for sure.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you have now caused me to potentially waste at least an hour today, because I'm probably going to do that. I love the idea, and I think that that's great. So outside of painting more rocks, I think that, you know, and hiding rocks, what future plans do you have coming down?
I definitely want to continue to grow, right? I want to, you know, learn as much as I can. I want to get more involved in security, you know, in wherever I can, you know, find a fill for that. I'm hoping to one day, you know, run my own business. In this you know, economy and stuff, it's tough, but it's always been a dream of mine. So, hopefully within the next year or so, I'm looking to potentially launch a consulting firm, specifically in cybersecurity, and you know, start that chapter of my life. But a lot of planning that goes into that, and I want to make sure that I'm most prepared and can continue to fulfill any needs I have or any requirements I have in the current work I do. So,
are you talking about a consulting company that would work in application security, or maybe going beyond that?
Yeah, I think we, you know, what I'm hoping is that we can be somewhat general in our approach, kind of fulfilling the needs of whatever the smaller, medium-sized business has. Definitely, one of our flagship products would probably be threat modeling, application security, things of that nature. But you know, I deal with a lot in the work I do now, and I have a pretty vast experience and knowledge. So, whatever the customers would need, I think I'd be able to, you know, eventually be able to fill. So, but yeah, application security would be what we'd be most skilled at, most prepared for.
And what would you think from this perspective right now, what one of the challenges of starting a small business would be, your own consulting business? I'm curious from your perspective, and then I'm going to layer in some of the things that I faced, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everything's getting more expensive nowadays.
This is true.
Especially with kids, it's tough to find the funds you need to be able to run marketing campaigns or, you know, open up certain tools if you need tooling for one thing or tooling for another. Luckily, there's a lot of open source things. I think with enough bootstrapping, you can get around those hurdles. But definitely just, you know, finding the funds and the time to be able to, you know, pursue that.
Yeah. The funds and the time, and they kind of like dovetail a little bit where it's like, if you're going to use, well, I'll give an example of scanning software, Greenbone, which uses OpenVAS. I was resistant to go down the path of paying for a service at the time. I'm like, well, let me try to figure out how to run that myself. And Linux is another one of those things that I talked about beforehand that has been around forever. And at least from the beginning of when I first started was when I compiled my first Linux kernel. And yet still, it's like the basis for so much of what we do. One of the machines behind me, in fact, underneath the on-air sign, is a Greenbone OpenVAS scanner. So I had to relearn some of the, all of the ideas of routing and making everything work the way it should within Ubuntu and all that. And there was that trade-off of time, but I'll tell you, it was also very satisfying for me because you get to, yes, I could have gone the easy route and just like paid for a tool, but using the open source, I learned a lot more, which basically when the day is done, it really provides more of a infrastructure support, I think, as you build your business. So I commend you for that. I think that that's going to be a good way to go about it. There are certainly ways to do it. Anything about starting a small business that kind of like turns you off, that frightens you?
Yeah, you know, with running your own business, I plan on working full time still. Mm-hmm. And this kind of being something I do in my spare time. So if I ever did make the transition of doing that full time, you're relying 100% on yourself for all of your income. You're relying 100% on yourself for healthcare and health coverage. And, you know, it's when you got kids and a family, it's definitely a very scary thing to think about. But at the same time, exhilarating and exciting to be independent like that. So it's definitely a catch 22.
And that is exactly what I tell people. Do a personal risk assessment first before you jump into it full time as your primary income. It can be done, but you have to evaluate the risks and the opportunities. I have, this gives me a chance to plug a video. I have a video out on the VCSO YouTube page. It's about an hour and 40 minutes long that talks an awful lot about what I've learned about the small business ownership, the cyber consultancy and all that. And there are a lot of things beyond the technical that people need to consider. So Troy, please consider me as a resource if you ever have any questions as you go down that path, because I'd love to see you succeed in that.
Yeah. I've already thought of a name for the company too. Going to call it Threat Archer. It's funny how I came up with that name. If you look up the synonym for Archer, or it's Bowman or Archer, one or the other, but the only synonym is Bowman for Archer. So
it's
the only synonym you can find for it. So,
and that's I like that. Okay.
Yeah, when you frame words.
Well, and if it looked like that, I had a little deer in the headlight look there for a minute. I'm like, Bowman, what does Bowman have to do with this? Oh yeah, I'm looking at your name. Like, okay, I get it. Light bulb window. Here, wait. There's the light bulb right behind me. So. Yep. Well, Troy, listen, it's been a wonderful time. I really appreciate you you spending some time with us and talking. Best of luck with your career as you continue, and also with the building the business. And would love to follow that as you do it, as you go along with that on LinkedIn. And again, always consider contacting me in case you have anything that you just want to bump, talk about with regards to business ownership.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And everybody, stay secure.